Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. This is going to be a part two of Jeff Gustafson's interview. But before we hop into that, my name is Brandon Cater. I'm here with Logan Lewis. We're here right in the heart of Canada in Saskatchewan. And Logan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a nice and hot May long weekend, at least the tail end of it there. Was able to get out fishing a couple times, and I saw you got out as well.
Yes, sir. First time, finally. I mean, like we talked about in part one with Jeff, we were supposed to get out the second weekend in May here and head to Boundary Dam, do a little bass fishing. And that was the only weekend you and I could get together. And of course, that's the weekend where literally you could not get on the water. We knew there was going to be some higher winds, like 30 kilometer hour winds. And then we woke up that morning to a rainfall warning and 70 kilometer hour wind gusts, so we pulled the plug on that trip pretty quickly on Friday morning. So we didn't get down to Boundary, we didn't do any largey fishing. So Jeff, if you're listening to this, that's why you didn't receive a photo from me, because if I went, I would have caught a largey and sent you a photo. But yeah, we didn't make it down there, but I did manage to get out this weekend, do a little walleye fishing. Felt good. Put a couple good sized fish in the boat, nothing big, but a couple mid-20s, and you know, some good eaters and whatnot. And it was just funny how I got to go out, take my dad to Last Mountain Lake, first time he's ever been to Last Mountain Lake, as well as my father-in-law and Big Brandon. So it was fun, it was a cool experience, and we got to catch some fish. So
yeah, no complaints there, especially with the weather we were able to get near the end there. That I am sunburnt. My legs and arms are roasty, especially after that Monday. Didn't end up fishing on the Monday, just went out in the pontoon boat. But man, that sun was hot. That's like the first hot day of the summer, spring, I guess, eh?
Yeah, it's, you know, not too often we get a nice weather on May long. So it was definitely a treat. Looking ahead into the May long weekend, it didn't look great, but it turned out pretty fantastic. Even got a round of golf in, and the winds were able to stay away. So nonetheless, great long weekend. Hope you all are rested up, were able to get out, have some adventures, whether that was hunting, fishing, wherever you are, whatever seasons are open. Hopefully you took advantage of that in the long weekend here.
I guess one guy that was busy down in the States was our guest, Jeff. He was fishing out like Lake Fork, right?
Yeah, so it was the 2022 Sims Bassmaster Elite at Lake Fork. So we interviewed him a few days before he was leaving for this trip. It was a long haul down to the States for him. And yeah, he ended up finishing in the top 25. Not a top 10 finish, but he did have big fish on the last day. I think he caught an 8-pounder there. So if you follow him on Instagram or Facebook, he posted some videos and photos yesterday or the day before of him catching that fish, and my God, was that a beautiful fish. So congrats, Jeff, on your finish and placing in the top 25.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. That'd probably feel pretty good catching big fish of the day, especially with all those pros there, eh?
Yeah, and I mean, he posts and he keeps everybody up to date during his tournaments and whatnot. You know, first day, he posted, you know, it was a little bit difficult and whatnot, but go follow Jeff. If you don't, go follow Jeff Gustafson, Gussie Outdoors on Instagram and Facebook. He posts all the time, lots of great information and lots of updates while he's down and doing these tournaments, and it's really cool information that he spreads.
Yeah, no, I was following along a little bit there because obviously we had talked about that when we were talking with him, and I just find it crazy that, like he said, Everyone has their tough days too. And like you said, he had a tough day on the first one, but he was able to climb back. And I think, did he not say there was like, how many people did he say would be fishing it?
Oh man, I don't even remember, but I think just like quickly looking at, just about 100, I think.
Okay, yeah. So to admittedly not have a great day on the first day and then climb all the way back up to 24th, like you said, right? Like that's pretty impressive, I'd say.
Yeah, no. So good tournament for him. He's got a week in between now until his next tournament. And yeah, so this episode will come out this Friday and Jeff will be preparing for a new tournament next week. So we have a lot of great guests come on and they always have a lot of great tips and stuff. So we wanted to introduce a new segment to the introduction of our episodes here. You'll hear this throughout new episodes here and there of Tackle Talk. So we just want to touch on a little bit of some techniques that have been working so far for walleye in the spring here. Logan, you've been using a tactic. You've been using crankbaits. What's been working for you here?
Yeah, it's something that I've found quite enjoyable. It's something I picked up on a little bit last year, especially after episodes with Gord. I believe he kind of made it click in my head with what I could be doing. But really, any like crank or jerk bait that you can pick up, I've been using the Rapala Shadow Wrap Shad. That's a mouthful there, but that's in the number 9 size. I've been using that one. But I mean, like, we're lucky enough to have boats. Obviously, you want to be on the boat as much as you can. But I found myself 3 evenings this May long weekend casting off the dock between really about 7:30 till 9:45 was kind of the window I found. I also tried after I got home from supper one night at about midnight. No success there. But basically, it's casting these jerks, these cranks in shallow for walleye. On some of the lakes we have, obviously, you're going to get into pike as well. I was kind of risking it, didn't have any kind of leader or whatnot. I just was running straight my mono straight down to the jerk bait, so I was playing a little risky there. But yeah, once that sun kind of was going down below the tip top of the valley there, it just seems like those walleye move in. If anyone's seen my story on BPL Fishing, the amount of bait fish that we have in shallow right now is just ridiculous. Whether it's, I think I saw some 9 spine, some maybe perch, actually quite a few, like 2 to 3 inch perch. So that's pretty cool to see. But yeah, they're all coming in right once that sun starts to go down, they're feeding. And I'm taking that number 9 size. I know Rylan Parrott that we've had on, he talked a little bit. I know him and some of his buddies are doing this a ton, right? Casting offshore and they're getting some big walleye, but I'm just giving it basically 2 pumps and then letting it rest while I kind of reel in some of the slack. And I was recording some of it, and pretty well every time that I caught a fish, it was when I went to give it that first pump again and the fish had taken it while I had stalled it there. So that's something. I mean, like I said, we're lucky enough to have boats, but I'm finding myself sitting on the dock or standing on the dock waiting to be able to cast those out. I know I could go in the boat and be pulling those out from shallow as well, but it's just something nostalgic, I guess, about being able to catch those fish off the dock and not just be, I don't know, I used to spend 6-7 hours sitting on the dock casting, just waiting for the odd fish to come by. But when you're actually able to do this, I mean, it's nice to be able to replicate it night after night. So I know talking to Carson Bell, CMK Fishing, I know he listens quite a bit. He was saying out at Buffalo, walleye were in about 3 to 6 feet quite often. So that's what I'd kind of been seeing as well, and kind of correlates to fishing offshore. So I think that's one for a lot of people, for the people who maybe don't have a boat or aren't able to get out in the boat that day. If you're able to find yourself some shore, whether it's some nice rocky shoreline or a good point, like Last Mountain has quite a few good points on them, like those can be money this time of year, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everything's shallow kind of right now in the spring season here. Walleyes are feeding up shallow. Crankbaits are an exceptional lure to be using. So there you go. There's your first taste of Tackle Talk. We'll be throwing some tips your way for different tactics and ideas for different species. But yeah, let's jump into our sponsors. We have to give a shout out. Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation has been a fantastic partner of the show. They have memberships province-wide that benefit a lot of what we all enjoy, fishing, hunting, the outdoors, wildlife as a whole. Go grab yourself a membership. Download the Saskatchewan Master Angler Program app. It's available on iOS and Android app stores. And start submitting your big catches. I mean, get rewarded for those big fish. It's awesome to kind of keep track of your catches and see those photos and actually receive something for them.
Yeah, Yeah, there's been actually, I was looking at it the other day. There's been a lot of people uploading some stuff. It's really nice fish coming out of the province here. So that's always nice to see. Nice getting the certificate. I think they might even have pins as well. I can't remember exactly, but no, they've got that. And then one thing I want to mention, the Home Lake Buffalo Pound Tournament is coming up here near the start of June. And that's ran through the Moose Jaw branch of the SWF. So be sure to check that out. Pretty low entry fee. You can fish. It's different than most tournaments. You can fish three people in the boat there. I know we both fished it last year. So definitely something to check out there. But next up, we got Blackfish Gear on the colder. I was fishing Friday, Saturday. Those days were a little colder. Once again, had the pullover on. Actually had the Blackfish rain bibs on as well. Just that nice kind of, even if it's not too hot, they've got some options that are quite thin. And it's perfect for just kind of having that nice layer on over whatever other clothes you're wearing while you get dirty with pike slime or
whatever. Yeah, no, for sure. Sunday morning, it was we were out there fairly early, so I had the pullover, the classic pullover. We talk about it a lot. That's my favorite. I have the soft shell jacket coming as well, something just with a full zipper too, right? I mean, the pullover is great, but it's always nice having a jacket as well with a full zipper that you're not yanking over your head all the time. But yeah, we got 13 Fishing, our presenting sponsor, of course. We need to mention them. 15% off 13fishing.ca, as well as Rapella.ca, and all nine brands that live on that website. Go save yourself some money. I put to work the Omen Gold Series rod and the Callan Blackout Reel 2.0 series. And, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. It's a medium light rod, the one I got, and it was awesome with a jig. It was fantastic. The sensitivity of that, and you know, feeling bottom, and it handled, you know, a 23 and a 23 and a half inch fish very nicely. Something a little bit bigger, probably would have preferred to have a medium sized rod on that, but nonetheless, the rod is so light. It feels so good. I'm super excited. I got a couple of those. Probably my new favorite walleye setup. That reel and rod, go check them out on 13fishing.ca.
Yeah, I should mention with the Tackle Talk, that's what I was actually using my rigging rod for the jerk baits, and that was a nice, I believe it's a 7 foot medium. I'm pretty sure that's what I was using, and that felt nice, especially for when you went to give it that first jerk once I didn't know that the fish had taken it, right? And it's able to totally load up, and yeah, definitely helped there. And I was actually using a Ned rig for some of this weekend. Yeah, and that was on the 6.6 medium light. Just kind of, I would sit on the edge of some sand, toss that over the edge where I could see the drop. And weirdest thing, I caught 7 pike in about 45 minutes doing that. Not what I anticipated, but no, still felt good on there. And then I guess next up, we have a word here from Lucky Bastard Distillers, and then we may as well hop right into part two with Jeff Gussie Gustafson.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth. Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard? It's the one with the pickle in it.
Okay, so obviously you being from Canada, a lot of those bass guys in the Elite Series probably don't get the opportunity to do as much ice fishing as you do. You a big ice fishing guy or like all winter long? I mean, you're down there doing tournaments, but when you're back, are you on the ice? And I mean, I think I've seen some social posts, but.
Yeah, so the last few years I haven't got to do a ton. When COVID hit in March 2020, everything got shut down. We came home, got a bunch of good ice fishing in then. This year, I mean, I don't know, I probably got out there 15 days maybe, so a fair amount. But yeah, I like doing it. My first sponsor I ever had, I think, was for like ice fishing. So
really,
I used to do a lot of guiding, and if I was, you know, whenever I get done with the tournament bass fishing and stuff, I'll probably be doing some guiding out on the ice again. But yeah,
cool.
I like ice
fishing. I guess I guess nice. back to that with you saying where you said you're around Kenora.
Yep. I live like 10 miles west of Kenora.
Okay. So obviously lots of us know that to be in that area is just stellar, right? Fishing wise.
Yeah.
And then we had Gord Pizer on, and I feel like do you know him, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When I was a little kid, like when I was like 10 years old or even younger, he lived like a block away from us, like the next street over from us. Okay. And his daughter gave me piano lessons. My mom made me take piano. I didn't love it.
Yeah, switch those out for fishing lessons from him instead.
Well, yeah, but I liked going over there because then I would just talk to Gord about fishing. And he's been great. He took me fishing a lot when I was a kid. And we fished quite a few bass tournaments together over the years. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because what I couldn't remember is when we recorded with them, or because we talked, how long did we talk to Gord for after the interview? Like,
we talked to Gord for probably 4 hours that night.
Yeah, and only an hour and a half.
Two hours on air and 2 hours off air. He had to take a bathroom break and grab a coffee and
came back. But
came back and we just chatted away.
Yeah, but I was going to say he had mentioned something about you, I believe, and so I wanted to kind of see your side of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recall he did mention you in our interview, but small world.
Yeah. Good place to grow up. that would be sweet.
If you like to do the outdoor stuff and especially fishing, it's a special place. It's awesome.
Yeah, even to have that number of species. I know it's a huge body of water, right? But like if we're going to the lake, it's either you're fishing for, I guess in the summer at least, you're probably fishing for walleye or pike. If you go to deep, fishing for rainbows as well if you'd like, and then I guess if you want to target perch in the summer, that too, right? But going to a place like that, you've got like the world's your oyster there.
Yeah, and that's the cool, like there's always something biting, you know, you can always catch something. And but yeah, it's the lake's mapped really well, so it's pretty easy to find good places to fish and get around. And yeah, just endless, islands and bays. And the lake itself has more shoreline than Lake Superior.
Oh, wow.
14,000 islands, million acres. It's a big lake, but it's with all the bays and islands, you can hide. Like you don't usually ever have to like go out on real big water. You can kind of always
get
around and fish no matter what the weather's doing.
That's fair, yeah.
The Great Lakes, you can sort of find the same, that variety, but if the wind blows on the Great Lakes, it takes the fun out of that. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I couldn't even imagine, but I guess talking about mapping and stuff there, let's dive into a little bit of the technology. Obviously, on your Lund back there, do you use live imaging on that boat?
Yeah, I got Mega Live on it.
Okay.
Mega Live. Mega 360 side imaging.
I got
it. So you got the trifecta. And so I guess what would you, out of the three, side imaging, Mega 360 and live imaging, what do you think if somebody was to purchase one, what would you recommend for is more critical to somebody catching more fish?
For sure the Mega Live. I mean...
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah, the forward facing sonar. Absolutely. Like, I guess, I don't know, the analogy I've been using lately, like, cause like people want to talk about that quite often and ask about it. And
yeah,
you know, if you've used it, it's like going ice fishing and using a flasher for the first time and then going ice fishing without a flasher. Like I would rather sit at home and watch TV probably.
Agreed.
And yeah.
That's what it's like not have, you know, like after you've used the forward sonar, it's so fun. And I mean, you're going to, it certainly helps you catch more fish, but it's just fun to like watch your bait, watch how the fish react to it, see them, you know, 50, 60 feet out in front of the boat. It's crazy. I hate that, you know, all the, you know, stuff for fishing, like the electronics and everything is so expensive.
Yeah.
Boats, everything, you know, and I hate that part of it. And I don't want anyone to think that, like, I grew up fishing with a map in my hand and a 15 horse tiller. And that's, but you don't need all the latest and greatest to catch fish. But if you're able to get it, it's fun to use, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It helps catch more fish for sure.
And I think
I had to ask that question because like we've had like John Hoyer on here and he's like, oh man, side imaging is beyond better than live imaging, you know, regardless. Really, and so it's been a controversial topic.
No, side imaging, live imaging. But I like, yeah, it would be hard to say. But if you had a good map and you didn't have to side image around, I mean, you could just scan around and shine around with the forward sonar and like. Mm-hmm.
That's fair, and that's something that we don't really have here in Saskatchewan is good mapping
of any
at the access of our like we can't just plug in a chip and every lake is mapped. We have to go map our own lakes. Yeah. So that's where I feel like we're at a little bit of a disadvantage. If you did, you know, or if you are just getting into electronics and stuff, you know, it's a tedious job going out there and mapping lakes and kind of being blind for that first year, basically, or two, until you actually get a good concept of mapping on your auto chart. But that's where Ontario and now Manitoba, like,
they're getting some. Yeah,
I feel like that's where it's at, is having those mapping cards right from the OEM.
I think that's something important that you mentioned is I was the same. I grew up with a tiny, I think a 12 foot tinner, and it had a 9.9 on it, but I wasn't old enough to drive it yet, so it was just weighing me down as I was paddling out with the oars and go fish like that, right? Like, it's, I think the biggest thing is especially when you're in competition, right? Time is money, essentially. You're there, it is with lots of things, but like, you gotta, for me now, it's not a sense of I want the flasher there just to have the flasher. It's the fact that I only have, I say, one day this week I can get out and go fishing. I want to be as efficient as possible, right? Like, it's still nice to, when you don't use one, like, it hardly happens anymore, but to get, like, to catch something and you had no clue. But to me, it's like, it's counterproductive because you're wasting your time, right? So I think that's where things change.
Like, I've got a couple flashers. Like, I have a backup one, not gonna lie, because I would rather just sit and watch my buddies sit next to them at his hole and watch his if I didn't have one. You know?
Yeah, definitely. We're spoiled a bit, but I mean, it's the efficiency thing, right?
If I'm like, a lot of times, like I used to do a lot of guide trips on the ice, and you know, often the guests wouldn't have a flasher. Well, I got one, and then they see, and they're like, if you've never used one and you just know what they look like, you probably think they're complicated. But like, I've taught 6-year-old kids to, you know, within a minute, they know how to use it. I mean, they're really easy to use. And then, so that's what happens is these people get, they see, you know, okay, here's my bait. Oh, here comes a fish. I got him.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh yeah, can I try? And you never get it back.
And then you never get it back.
Yeah. I got a couple of them and, the forward sonar is kind of like the same thing for me. And I know, like quite a, several of my friends like actually carry a second transducer in case the theirs ever like went down.
Oh yeah.
No, because like, that's fair.
Yeah.
That
wow.
Big of a, you know, into how they fish.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Totally agree.
That's thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line. What's another $2,000 transducer? I
mean, what's another couple thousand?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's same. I know exactly how your clients would have felt. They're like, I got my first one was the Ice 35. The Hummingbird, and I got that, and I was like, man, I'm spending a lot of money here. It was like $350 at the time, and I had what was it? It was like one of the older versions. I upgraded my sonar on my boat to like when it was like a 985 SI or something. I don't know what it was, something small, right? And I thought that was me upgrading, and then I was like, oh, I'm gonna get this Ice 35, and I tried that. I was like, man, this is awesome. And now the Ice 35 is only used for tip ups. I've got the Helix 7 and then got another one, and it kinda, you're like, oh, I won't need any more. So I got the Helix 7, didn't get the networking one. I was like, oh, I'll never have two units on my boat. Like, why would I need two? Now I'm like, oh man, I wish I got the networking, right? So it's good times, but yeah, totally know how people feel. It can be daunting, but once you learn how to use that, it's game changer. Definite game changer.
Game changer.
Big word. That's a big word.
You chose that word, eh?
No, it is. It is.
Okay, this is, I don't know if it was in an article on social media, But I heard you be referred to as the snow leopard.
Yeah. So our MC for the Elite Series is Dave Mercer, who's
everybody. Oh God. Okay.
Knows.
Yeah. Okay.
Like so good at what he does. Really good. And yeah, so, a couple of the guys that I used to stay with and travel with, we were watching a Nat Geo show at one of the tournaments, like my first year fishing. It was like one of the third or fourth tournaments maybe. And there was a scene where this snow leopard took down a goat like way up on this mountain and they tumble for like a mile down the mountain. And the snow leopard ends up living, and it was just like, it's a really cool scene. So the next night at dinner, Seth Fider, my friend, we're at dinner with Mercer, and Fider's like, and my wife and I have two cats. So I'm a cat guy, I guess. I get bugged about it all the time, but like
crazy cat guy.
Yeah. And anyway, so those guys are always like giving me a hard time about that too. And Fider said to Mercer, like, hey, we were talking about this snow leopard scene and like, oh, it was badass, like really cool.
And so epic.
So he's like, Mercer, you got to call Gus the snow leopard. And then like the next morning, so when we do our takeoffs in the morning, Mercer introduces everyone like as he calls you to go. So me, he'll be like, from Q8 in Ontario or Kenora, Ontario, the great Canadian snow leopard, Jeff Gustafson. And then on stage, he does it too. So it's, I don't know. I got like a camel wrap on my boat, you can see, and I should probably like go for some kind of snow leopard print.
That'd look pretty nice. That'd be pretty sweet.
That would be sick. Yeah, that'd be unreal, actually.
I don't know.
That'd probably make Mercer so happy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, I think we want to kind of touch obviously on 2021 a bit. That whole year, but
oh, was that a big year?
Maybe.
Yeah, hey. Not the big beauty right here.
Oh, wait, what? They let you keep it?
Yeah.
That's huge, actually.
Unreal. That's a massive.
It is. It's a big dog. It's heavy too. It's like 38 pounds. Same as a Stanley. Ooh.
Same as the Stanley Cup. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's how much the Stanley Cup weighs.
So I guess when you were 10 years old and you were taking piano lessons from Gord Pizer's daughter, would you have rather be lifting that or the Stanley Cup at that time?
I don't know. That's a toss-up. Like, Mike Richards is a good friend of mine. He's from Kenora too, and we fish together quite a bit. And I think like he'd make more in 2 weeks than I would make in the whole year.
Yeah, that's true.
On the cup a couple times, but no, you know, I'm pretty proud of that.
Oh, and, yeah, for sure.
You know, I have. It's been a dream since I was a little kid. Like I was into that stuff really young, and followed it my whole life. So.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, I guess before we get to what brought that into your garage, that trophy there, I just wanted to ask, the thing I've always liked is when you get to watch some of the events on TV, the thing I can't get over, I think it's sweet. Some people would be like, why would you do that? But the boats that follow people around when you're out on the water, like what's that like as the guy who's trying to get things done? Like, is it cool? Or is it get you pumped up? Or is it like, get out of my way kind of thing?
Get on my face.
Yeah, no. It's hard now because they do Bassmaster Live. They live broadcast each day of our events. And and then they also do a thing on the Bassmaster website during our events called Bass Track. So as you catch fish, we'll usually have a marshal that rides with us, and they'll enter the weights of our fish. And so if you're having a good day, you know, your weight's up on the internet. People can see that. And then these guys will, they could find you, and then they want to watch what you're doing if you're catching fish. So, in the tournament that I won last year, I had like 25 boats probably on the final day out there watching. And, it was cool. Like if most of the time the people are really good, like they want to watch and see, try and learn, you know?
Yeah. Take all your spots.
Go try stuff on their spots. Sometimes. And then, but like, there are a few lakes, like, where the local, I don't know that it's locals. I think it's more visitors to these lakes at the same time that we're there. And, like, I've had times, like, lots of times where, you have a good little offshore spot or something, and like you fish it and then you leave, and they'll just go and sit there the rest of the day, and you can't even get a hook again. Like,
yeah,
that's, but usually they're not there to fish. They're there to watch and cheer you on. And, it's pretty cool.
What's the stipulation like on how far they have to stay away? Cause I feel like, right, 25 boats, isn't that like a little bit?
If they're out there doing that, they probably are pretty into fishing, so they know to to get too close. Usually, I haven't really ever had to, like, I've had a couple times just to like tell people like, hey, I'm heading right over here, so just hold back. And you know, if you tell them, usually it's all good.
About to rip 60 mile an hour, 100K through here.
It's usually they're pretty good. But some of the guys will like blast them though. Like I've seen on video of some of the guys like yelling at them.
And, oh yeah.
I could only imagine.
Well, you're Canadian, like, so you're not going to be doing that.
Yeah. No, and it's too nice.
Sort of have that reputation of not being that nice.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the pressure, if you're not catching fish and these people are just.
Oh, there's, yeah, for sure.
Dude. Hanging over your head, like.
Yeah, or just sometimes even you get like a photographer that'll follow you for a bit, or a camera boat. And like, usually it's fine. It's cool if you're catching fish, it's great. But if you're not, you just are kind of like, hey, beat it, guys. Like, I just want to go do my thing and not have to think about that too right now. But
yeah,
it's part of the gig. So usually, if you got a camera in the boat or somebody's following you, it's because you're catching fish and they want to, you know, be reporting on what's happening. So it's usually a good thing.
There you go.
Good. Well, 2021, what was so great about that year?
Yeah. So I won my first pro tournament last year, down. For sure. Highlight of my fishing career. You know, no doubt. And, keep trying to bring another one of those blue trophies back to Canada.
For sure.
I don't recall, like, I remember seeing the post on social media, but like I didn't follow the, you know, watch live or anything like that. That tournament, was it, you know, did you know like you were in a good place or like
So
take us through that tournament a little bit.
Yeah, so it was pretty crazy because it was on the Tennessee River, right out of Knoxville, downtown Knoxville, Tennessee. So right, the big football stadium where Tennessee football team plays is right on the river, like right by where we take off. So that was pretty cool, like mega stadium, you know. And tough fishing. It was the first 2 days of practice, I think I caught two keepers in 2 days, like brutal tough fishing. And the final day of practice, I found a deep channel canal. It was actually a canal kind of connecting two sections of the river. And there was some current. The water was pretty clear. There was bait I could see on my side imaging, some rock I could see. It just kind of had all the ingredients. And I ended up, you know, dropping a jerk shad bait. I fished the spot for a bit, tried a few baits, didn't catch anything. And sort of last ditch effort, I dropped a jerk shad down, which we use a ton around here, and caught a fish immediately, caught another smallmouth immediately. The tough thing, there was largemouths, spotted bass, and smallmouths at this place. But the smallmouths had to be 18 inches to keep. So a pretty big one. And I caught, I don't know, this is the practice day. I caught a few. None of them were keepers, like 17 inches, like real nice ones, but like not quite keepers. And I'm like, man. And then I ended up finally catching a big one. And I could see, you know, every time I'd hook one, there'd be three or four others following it on the graph. They were in like 22 feet of water. And so I just was like, as tough as fishing as this place is, if I can come here and catch even two or three of these, I'm still going to like come out of this okay, survive the tournament. And I went here the first morning and I caught five big ones in like the first hour. Like it was unreal. And had a pretty big lead after day one. And I ended up catching five smallmouths every day for 4 days in a row, which, you know, although like they do a lot of, you know, lead up stories and content, you know, for these events. And like everyone said, oh, there's no way anyone will catch a limit of smallmouths every day. Like they'll factor, like there'll be some big smallmouths weighed in, but there was just, it was, you know, in February, full winter still, and all these fish were just really grouped up and there was a lot of them there. And I got really lucky as far as none of the other anglers that I fish against, like guys drove by and saw where I was fishing, but nobody really moved in on me. And
yeah,
quite a few locals were out there watching and, you know, didn't fish, didn't get in my way, let me do my thing. And, you know, pretty grateful for that.
So this could be my total having no idea how those tournaments work. You can do largies or smallies.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. Any of the lakes that have both species, yeah, you can have either one.
Okay. So are you, as far as smallies go, I know the master angler size in Manitoba is 18 inches, yeah, I believe. Is that kind of like you're getting an 18, you're pretty happy with that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So these fish where I was catching them down there, like didn't weigh as good as like an 18 incher would up here.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're skinnier. So, you know, most of the fish I was catching, an 18 incher was, you know, there was a few that were under 3 pounds, like just because they were skinny, but most of them were 3 to 3.5 pounds.
Okay. That's cool. Oh, that's good. There's we did a smallie trip mixed in with our Laker trip, just by Clearwater in Manitoba. And yeah, the one lake, not many 18s, a lot of 17s with the belly on them. But this other lake we fished, this little lake, it was, there's three of us. The first day is 160 fish. It was in the fall, 150, 160 smallies, most of them about 6 inches. And then about every probably 20 or 30, 17, 18 incher. And I was like, I don't know if this is big or whatnot, but we were like, hey, master angler, happy with it, right? But that's interesting to see that's kind of what you're looking for as well when you're out there.
For sure.
What is your go-to beat when you're heading out for a tournament? Do you have some music blaring?
It kind of changes. Like I definitely do. Like I'll find, like next week when I go, like I haven't been in my truck a lot in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't even really have like a hot song right now, but yeah, I usually get a song that, you know, I know. So this year we've had 5 events already. And I know like one of them in down in Florida, the start, I was in a big Metallica kick for a while, like jamming some Metallica. And then I've been on rap stuff, a couple derbies. I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. They're probably my favorite band. So I usually rock some Pearl Jam here and there, but I literally, like on the presets in my truck, I got some rap, some country, some rock, some like 2000s rock, some classic rock, and you know, just a little bit of everything. Hockey Channel, NHL Network, and some Howard.
You like your music like you like your fish, multi-species.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. I just wasn't sure if there was like that one song that got you going.
Like one that like Journey, Don't Stop Believin', is kind of like always been my like walk up song and stuff. But
your come out song, walking down the dock.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, do we want to go to some questions now, or do you have anything else for that?
No, that was it. Actually, that was one of the questions I was looking at. So, like, we threw that story up, right? And you shared it to your story on Instagram. And there were some questions. And one of them was, like, what's his go-to beat on the boat?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, fire away with some of the questions that the people have.
I guess I had one that I was kind of thinking of when I asked you about kind of with it being on TV and the people following. There's always those compilations on YouTube. It's like top 10, whatever. And I was watching one. It was like moments within those tournaments, but guys like getting out of their boat, walking through some water to go get a bass that they've hooked that's hung up somewhere else, right? And there's like some penalties or whatever involved. But do you have any crazy moments for yourself that are kind of like that?
Like landing a fish. I've had some like hung up on brush or under docks and that before. Mm-hmm. Some I've lost, some I've got. It's the ones you lose that you remember the longest.
Yeah.
Those ones really get imprinted in your mind. But
like you're not having you haven't had to jump in the water or anything like that?
No, actually for the Elite Series, we're not allowed to. Our 50% of our body weight has to stay in the boat. So even like leaning over is kind of a gray area a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's a new rule. That's a rule they've had for, I don't know, for the last few years. There was just because of a few things that happened. So yeah, you're not allowed to actually leave the boat.
Okay.
It's kind of more, it would be a little bit more exciting if like you could jump in if you had to, because it's happened, but.
Right. So is that when you said, is there always a marshal with you, like a judge or whatever in the boat, or is it sometimes?
Yeah, they're typically, like I've had one day this year that I didn't have one. Like, so there's 90, 95 guys, basically 95 anglers. And sometimes they might be short a few marshals, so you could end up going solo.
Right.
But usually you've got someone riding with you.
Okay, because I thought that'd be interesting, because I don't know if or some of our listeners or if you've been watching any of the playoffs. Obviously, you're always going to think the reffing's bad against your team, but I love just watching hockey, and I've watched tons of the series, and the reffing has just been, I found, horrendous this year. But
nobody cares about the Boston you know Bruins. What?
It's not even about that. I was watching Toronto and Tampa.
I haven't looked at the score yet since we got on here, but it wasn't looking good, bud.
It wasn't looking good, Lokes.
Oh, I know. That's 4-0. Whatever. All right. You're not in trouble till you lose at home. But anyways, even watching Tampa and the Leafs, it's like kind of they can skate away from their refs and whatnot. Like, is it ever kind of like with your judge or your marshal on the boat, you kind of ever drive around like, man, like this guy's getting on my nerves today?
No, I mean, you sometimes, like, most of them are just, they're usually local or they're really into the tournament fishing and they are there to watch you and learn. Like, they're not actually, like, they are there to kind of make sure that everyone's following the rules. They have to know all the rules, but it's, you know, it's guys and gals that are interested in fishing and get a chance to ride with you know, people that they're probably going to learn something from. Okay. So. Most of them are really good. You get like one or two a year that like just all day don't stop asking questions. Like stuff that like, whoa, why did you like at 1 PM when I'm like in scramble mode, just like, oh, that looks good over there. And sometimes you just got to do that, right? Like not think about it too much. Like, what am I fishing here? Like, oh, there's a couple boulders, you know, just something looks good. And that's what drives me the most nuts when they're like, oh, why did you decide to fish here?
Yeah, why are you throwing that?
they just want to learn. But sometimes it's just like, you know, dude, I have no idea. I just got the feeling like this is where we're going.
I might look like I know what I'm doing right now, but I haven't even thought about why I'm doing this. It just happened.
Yeah. Sit down. Hang on.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all. Sometimes you get asked a little bit of, you know, quite a few questions, but it's all good.
If you are in need of a boat, whether it be a pontoon fishing boat, maybe you just need a small boat to get into the backwoods, a river system, check out our friends JP Adventure Rentals and SAS Best Boat Rentals. They have everything you need for all of your adventures, whether it be fishing or fun with the family. Here's a quick word from JP Adventure Rentals.
Get your adventure on with JP Adventure Rentals in Saskatchewan. Whether it's remote ice fishing, hunting, trail riding, or just taking family and friends out for a day of fun, JP Adventure Rentals has you covered with brand new ATVs, snowmobiles, aluminum trailers, plus accessories. Visit jpadventurerentals.ca to make your reservation. Check out our sister company, Saskatchewan's Best Boat Rentals, for all of your boat rental needs. Pre-book now. Get out there with JP Adventure Rentals. We rent fun.
As far as you were talking about the weight of the trophy there, that was one of the questions from Corey Outdoors. He says, how heavy is one of those pretty gorgeous, amazing blue trophies?
Yeah, 38 pounds. So
38 pounds. Well, it doesn't even have a cup they can pour beer into.
No,
it would have tipped 40 pounds.
The only thing it's missing is a shot glass. So since I mentioned earlier, I've been dealing with this flooding in my basement. So I brought some of my other trophies that I had in the house out to my shop. So I'm going to show you one that's pretty cool here. This one's from the Kenora Bass International when I was like 18 years old.
Oh, that's a pretty sick KBI. Trophy.
It's a really beautiful trophy, And this is our big hometown tournament on Lake of the Woods. But you can see the mouth on this bass. It'll take a big shot. And I can remember like the night that we won these, there was definitely some whiskey shot out of that bass's mouth.
Well, that's a really cool one.
Yeah.
That's what those bucket mouths are good for, eh? A good six-ounce shot.
Good on a trophy, yeah.
There you go.
No, that's fair. If you weren't a professional angler, what would your job be?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't even want to think about that. Like, I did, I went to university on the Keep Mom Happy program, got a general arts degree, and I wish I would have taken, like, business or marketing, kind of what I've gotten into now, but it's all kind of worked out. But I was on the supply teaching list for a couple years, like, right out of school, and I've actually never really had like a real Monday to Friday job before. Like, I've always kind of been my own boss, and hopefully I don't ever have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in that area, right, that you grew up in, it's, you got so much you can do.
Yeah. It's, you know, anyone that's self-employed, you know, you gotta kind of just be getting after it all the time. And that's kind of how it's always been for me. You just find ways to stay busy. And, you know, like my big deal is just really try to avoid having to get a real job.
Right.
I was expecting you to say a firefighter or something.
I mean, yeah, I'd figure something out. I can tell you that, but, you know,
no, that's fair. I was just curious if you had a plan B, right? Like, a lot of people, like, you know, even like NHL players, and I grew up with a lot of people even that are in the NHL right now too, right? Like, that's the goal growing up, but it's like, you know, what would you do if you didn't make it, you know? So
yeah,
I was just curious. Curious.
Plan B is plan A. I know right off the top you mentioned that you said your wife was going to come with you, or is planning to come with you for this one, right, for this tournament? I think that's the thing that's huge. I know I was checking out your Instagram. I saw that she comes to, it seems like, quite a few of the events, right? So
it makes life a lot better for both of us and for me especially. But it's good. That's the one part of it. Like I said, it all looks like really glamorous, but I'm not complaining, but they're just being away from home for extended periods of time. And, that part of it, the long drives, like, that part of it's a grinder. And, the fact that she's got a job that allows her to take, you know, some time away, and, it's awesome that she's able to come along.
Yeah.
And it helps me out a lot too, with just, you know, little things here and there.
Right. So that kind of answers this one, I guess, potentially, unless you had something else, but it was along the lines of, what's something that most people don't realize when it comes to being a pro angler? And I guess it's not even to have to do with the fishing, but like you said, just being gone all the time, right?
Yeah, you're you know, and like what I'm doing on the Elite Series, like they're basically in our field, it's not that big, and there's a turnover every year of like around 13 anglers. So if you're sort of slipping up a little bit, or, you know, you're going to get yourself kicked out. So, and it's just like super hard to qualify for. So you want to like maintain a pretty high level, and you can't miss tournaments. I mean, when they're on the schedule, you got to go and be there and do it. And I've missed, you know, like quite a few weddings and, you know, quite a few things just because of what I do. But
right. So how does that work maybe from a high level? Like, it's not just, if you want to pay your entry fee, you can fish this one, right? By the sounds of it, like, you got to qualify.
You got to qualify through the Bassmaster Opens, which is a lower level. And basically every year, there's three divisions with like 225 anglers per division. And you got to be in the top three in points.
Okay.
After three tournaments, there's three tournaments and three divisions. So you pretty much can't have a bad day, three tournaments in a row.
Right.
And, it's super hard to qualify for. So, you know, you gotta just, you know, try and stay on top of all the new trends and baits and techniques and technology. I mean, that's a big thing. And like a lot of the anglers now, a lot of the new guys that are coming in are coming out of fishing in college. And I mean, they're super good, super experienced when they start, and don't have that learning curve that a lot of anglers did, like when I started, and even only 10 years ago and prior to when I started, you know,
right.
You usually had to, it was, if you could survive the first few years, then you could probably make it. But it's tough to survive those first couple of years.
Yeah, that's so cool that they have college programs for that. We have nothing like that. Yeah. I think even in Canada, right? So
No, it's a big deal down there.
Even like you mentioned, even 10 years ago when you started, just the amount of content and YouTube videos and resources that there are now for individuals getting into the competitive, bass tournaments and whatnot, right? There's guys like you that are on the circuit that are putting out videos that, they can watch and learn from, that maybe, there was videos in back in the day on DVDs and whatnot, but it's nowhere near what's out there now. So
yeah, no, like you can, I've got a little TV up here in my shop, and I've got one of the Bassmaster shows from last year, like one of the live shows, just watching it to learn. And but you could like type in Lake Fork, where I'm going next week, on that, and I mean, you could watch videos about it all day.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
pretty good, get a pretty good understanding of like, okay, this is how they catch fish at this place,
yeah
really. So
well, and I see now there's another boat behind you there.
Yeah, that's a tiller boat that I've had. It's a 2012 20 foot Alaskan.
Nice.
So I've had it for like 10 years now. And yeah, it was when I was pretty busy with the deer hunting business, guiding. Back then it was kind of my big money maker for the year. And, I spent a lot of time, a couple months sort of doing that. And that's when I got this boat, and it's rigged up to fish out of. It's a good rig to kind of have. And, early and late in the year, sometimes I leave this boat down south in between events, so I still have another boat that I can use.
That makes sense.
I was gonna ask you, you can't fly your boat, right? Like if you want to go play professional pickleball, you can fly to your spot, right? Yeah, you can't.
Like pre-COVID, I haven't been flying, but like pre-COVID, I would just like, if I had a week or two off between events, I would just fly back to Winnipeg and then go back. The ticket prices are horrible right now, and just all the extra like border stuff with it's just kind of a pain in the butt. So I haven't been doing it, but I'm hopefully in the next year or two we can sort of get doing that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, being on the road so much and driving, what's your number one road snack? Gas station snack?
Oh boy, hot rods.
Probably just jerky.
It's beef jerky.
Yeah, you can get some good.
That's
like,
fair.
There's some good ones in the States that are like just kind of regional, that like if I'm going to a certain area, like, oh yeah, that stuff's really good. And I don't even know, remember the names. I just recognize the package. Sure. But
are they still $100 a bag? Like I can't get over beef jerky prices when you go to gas stations.
Well, everything's like half the price in the U.S. that it is here in Canada. True. So
checks out.
It's jerky's never cheap, but yeah, not as bad as here. It's like $28 for a little bag someplace.
Jesus. Yeah. I don't buy a whole lot of jerky. Like I usually just get it from people with game and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's just too damn expensive,
that's
man.
The best stuff. If you can get like, moose. It's phenomenal.
Another road question.
Okay.
Have you ever just balled out and like rented a sick Airbnb on the road?
Not like outrageous, but like a few nice ones. After I won the tournament last year, my wife and I stayed at a nice place at the next event. She came with me and we got like a way nicer place than I would have got,
rightfully so. I mean, you gotta celebrate.
Nothing crazy, like no, I don't know, maybe like, yeah, if it's for a 3-day little in between events, we got to stop somewhere and Shelby's with me, then we'll usually find somewhere like a little nicer. But like for a lot of the events, I travel with 3 or 4 other guys and we'll houses wherever, we're going. And sometimes it's some of the places it's really easy. There's great places, and other places that we fish, it's hard to find somewhere to stay. So over the years, we've gotten some nice, way nicer places than we need, that, cost, double or triple what we normally would pay. But usually like with a little group like that, we can rent somewhere split it up, and it's going to be a lot cheaper than a hotel. And then we can cook our own food, eat better. It's kind of the way to go, I think.
Yeah, we got an Airbnb wait for us in Estevan. One of them.
Oh yeah,
was it the only one there?
Oh yeah. Yeah, honestly, like I went on to Airbnb, and there was one listing on for Airbnb in Estevan for Friday, and it was a hotel, and I was like, there's no way that there's only one Airbnb in Estevan. So like I just removed the date for Friday, and there's like whatever eight, but there's like one nice place, and it was blocked off. So I messaged the lady, and I was like, hey, like, I know it says like you're booked this weekend or whatever, but like if you do get a cancellation, like I'd like to book this place for Friday night. And she messaged me back. She's like, actually, it's not booked. Like, we're just out of town, so we decided to block it off. But, you know, looking at your Airbnb account, you look responsible. So, yeah, you guys can stay. So now we got this sick place. We don't got to stay in a little motel or anything. Beautiful. So that'll be nice.
Have a big shit kicker party there too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like Estevan, if you're gonna have a shindig, Estevan's probably the place.
Yeah.
I guess one of my last questions I'd have personally is, I think, did I read correctly? You're the first Canadian.
No, I was the second.
Oh, okay.
Chris Johnston, one of the Johnston brothers that I fish against, he won one in 2020 on the St. Lawrence River.
Okay. That, I guess that was still one of the things that was talked about, right? Was a Canadian winning it. I was wondering how many Canadians actually fish it or have fished it? Like, is it pretty small?
There's three of us that are fishing currently. And in the past, there's been one other Canadian, a guy named John Bondi from Windsor, Ontario. He fished the Elite Series for several years. And then, I'm going to forget people, but on the FLW tour that I used to fish, there's been several that have gone down and fished those as well. But
okay.
There's three of us right now. And then quite a few fishing those Bassmaster Opens trying to qualify. A young guy, Cooper Gallant from Southern Ontario, he won in one of these open tournaments last month and is in, you know, pretty good shape towards qualifying for next year. So that'd be awesome if he does.
Nice. No, absolutely. More
Canadian,
the more
content.
Canadians, the merrier.
The happier the tour would be.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. The nicer it would be, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is really, if you do much shore fishing or not, but we have a gentleman that asked a question. He works around Lake of the Woods. He's always got the rod in the truck. And he's like, is there any half-decent shore fishing areas on Lake of the Woods, or do you really have to keen in on a boat?
No, I mean, obviously, it's not...
That's a tough question.
It's not the best place to shore fish, but if you're around Kenora, the two rivers kind of outflow, or below the Norman Dam, like the farther west dam on the west side of Kenora, you can get below that. The season's closed until into June, I think, but all summer you can go down and fish offshore there, and like it's really good walleye fishing. You'll catch bass. I've heard of a lot of people catching muskies there. They grab the walleyes or you catch them. But otherwise, you know, anywhere with current, and then just some of the docks, like right around the harbor front in Kenora. I mean, you can go out and catch bass and walleyes off those docks too, if you wanted to try and get a few bites at least.
There you go.
Perfect.
There you go. Normally wouldn't ask those ones, but he lives in Moose Jaw and goes out there for work sometimes, and he's a big supporter of the pod. So thought we'd give him some juice, some info there. You gotta take a break from work every once in a while, right? If he's got the rod, so may as well.
Perfect. Well, we've had you for almost an hour and 20 minutes, Jeff, and you know, this has been a little bit longer than we, you know, normally keep guests, but this was fantastic. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to maybe mention, or you know, where can people find you online, anything like that? Your shameless plugs.
Hey, I just want to come out there to Boundary and catch some largemouths. So hopefully,
let's do it.
Make a plan and do that sometime down the road.
I'll be a professional.
Yeah, we'll be well versed.
Yeah, I want to get a report after the weekend and see how you guys did. And
I'm gonna slap my first bass up on my story. It's gonna be a 7-pounder, and it's gonna have the chatterbait in its mouth still, and I'm tagging you and I'm tagging the Bass Elite series.
Yeah.
And you know,
you'll be addicted.
I'll be addicted.
Yeah.
I won't even fish for walleye anymore.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
We hope you guys enjoyed that part two episode with Jeff. I know it's like we'd said in part one, this is something that we've kind of been talking back and forth with him for quite a while to get done. And we were able to find some time where he was able to sit down with us. We were jacked that he was able to come on. It's pretty cool, kind of the Canadian angle of him going down there and fishing in those tournaments as well. So it's nice to see a fellow Canadian going down there and showing those boys how to do it sometimes, hey?
Yeah, it was fantastic to sit down and kind of hear his story and get a bunch of great tips. I mean, a lot of great questions and answers throughout that whole interview. Jeff's a stand-up guy. He's down in the States right now, you know, trying to get a couple wins under his belt and hopefully bring some money home and maybe bring another blue trophy home in 2022. We'll see. But yeah, nonetheless, thank you everybody for tuning in. This was one that we've been working on forever. And if you have anybody that you'd like to hear on the show in the future, send us a DM or an email. Everything that you need to know as far as information is in the show notes below. Again, if you need anything at all, if you need jigging wraps from Rapella, if you need rods from 13 Fishing, or you need swim baits from Storm, maybe you need treble hooks, go check out VMC Hooks. They're all under the Rapella Canada umbrella. Check out rapella.ca. Save yourself 15% off your entire card with Weekend Warriors as the discount code. And yeah, why not? So thank you very much for tuning in. It's going to be a few weeks here before our next episode releases. It'll be coming out June 17th. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. And yeah.
Do we want to let them know why?
Might as well, man. Like,
that's pretty exciting.
Logan's.
Well, Brandon's. Why with you first? With you first. What are you doing?
Oh man, I got lots on the go. I got planning a wedding. I'm in some post secondary school, so I got some final exams coming up. For that, I have.
He's edumacated.
Yeah, I'm trying to be edumacated anyways. So just a lot going on the personal side of things. But the real reason that we're only going to be releasing one episode in June is because Logan is going to be far, far away.
Yeah, far, far away for a month. Going to see our boy Zach, Fecal Fishing Guide. I don't know if some people saw my story. How long ago was this now? Probably a month at least now.
Yeah, right? A couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, so I guess the story, Zach called me up. I was working on the boat. First thing he says, you should quit your job and come guide for a month. And I was like, well, I can't quit my job. And then I never talked to him for a bit. Kind of, yeah, I'll let you know if I think of anyone or find out about anyone. And then I put it on my story. And then a couple hours go by, I'm like, well, why wouldn't I try and do it kind of thing? So I, what the heck, tried to figure it out with work. Eventually ended up working out with work. I was able to do the, I think I'm gone the 4th to the 2nd, so I was able to take that off. And yeah, I'm flying up to the Northwest Territories on the 4th and gonna live the life, I guess, for a month, see what it's all about. I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to see more of Canada, so I guess here's the chance. And of course, get to hang out with Zach, who wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't know, it's gonna be a super cool experience, right? You're gonna be up in the Northwest Territories for whatever it is, 31 days, and guiding. You're going to meet so many new people, you know, from the States, probably from Canada as well. I'm not too sure how many people from Canada make their way up to the Northwest Territories. I know Zach mentioned it's a lot of Americans that come up there, but great fishing. So Zach preaches about it all the time. And nonetheless, you're going to be able to maybe check out some wolf pups while you're up there. You know, get into that. Maybe I'll be coming home with a new pet. Who knows?
Yeah, have myself a pet wolf. On the off chance that anyone listening has been up to Yellowknife, I'll be there for a day and a half before I take the float plane out to the lodge. So if you have any good eats, things to do while in Yellowknife, I'll just be hanging out waiting for that plane to take off on the 6th. So be sure to let us know, I guess.
Yeah. So there you go. Logan's headed up north. He's going to be guiding in the Northwest Territories for the month of June. So we'll be releasing one episode in June and then back to our regular schedule in July, August, and so on in 2022. So thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate all of you. We hope you all had a great long weekend and have lots of fishing planned for the weekends ahead. And we will see you in June.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.